What's up, everybody? It's Angelina Love, seven-time Women's World Champion, one half of the Beautiful People, and you are listening to Toilet Side Talk. Have fun.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Brad Marcus, and welcome to another episode of Toilet Side Wrestling Talk. Today's guest is an ECW original and a legend in female pro wrestling. Some of you may know her as Prodigette or Riptide or Wildfire, but tonight we have Angel Orsini. Angel, how are you?
How you doing? I'm doing, you know.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's really good to hear. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. I love connecting and talking wrestling. Are you
kidding me? First off, okay, what is elevated living?
So Elevated Living is a health and wellness coaching program that I've been working on with my best friend, who is a lifelong fitness and wellness enthusiast like myself. She's also my best friend. We've been, you know, when I was, let's see, I was still actually a professional mixed martial arts fighter. Wow. A competitive bodybuilder and a pro wrestler. And she was my training partner. So she would come to the gym with me and work out. Her name is Joy Nash. Mm-hmm. And we became best friends. And we've been best friends ever since, I guess, like 1998.
Oh my God.
A long time, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a valuable friendship at this point, that many years. Is it hard, like, working with, like, your best friend, like, business-wise? Is that ever a problem?
No. Oh, no, that's because I would say, you know, we're very self-disciplined people, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, to have a lifestyle of health and wellness, like, all these years, and we still
For sure.
do it. We're even more of a level of expert. We've gone to courses together. Mm-hmm. Where we got certified as life coaches and also in neuroplasticity, which is the art of learning and teaching using neuroscience, understanding how your brain even expands knowledge, stores knowledge, and creates also to create new patterns and break old patterns of bad habits. What we're doing, Elevated Living, is a community that we're creating. Yes. But first, we're creating the foundation of the curriculum. That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
And so there's different ways that people learn. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is creating curriculum for all the different ways that people assimilate information and can synthesize it and make it their own. And then practice it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you have to coordinate and align your corporate values with your curriculum and then your media presentation. So that's kind of what's taken us a long time to develop.
Yeah.
because it's just her and I, and we both have full-time jobs.
That's what I was going to ask you, Drew. How do you have time? Like, because it seems very time-consuming by just what you've said to me. Do you have free time ever?
No, I don't have any free time.
When was the last time you went to a movie?
I think I took my mom to see Jackass.
Oh my God, that long ago?
Not okay. The first Jackass, but...
Do you ever go on vacation? Like where you're not wrestling or working or anything?
I've never been on vacation where I didn't wrestle.
And you don't get tired?
I am indefatigable.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I don't get tired, no.
Okay.
When it's time to sleep, I sleep and I sleep well, baby. And I get recharged and then boom. The gun goes off and the race begins again.
Wow. Have you always been like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like even as a kid?
Oh my God, and nobody could handle me.
Okay, we'll get to that. Where are you from?
I'm a Jersey girl, really. I mean, I didn't have a stable childhood where I grew up in one place. Mm-hmm. Eventually, my parents figured out that it would be better for me and mm-hmm. for them to go back to Jersey because there's grandparents there and
aunts,
uncles, cousins. Mm-hmm. And so they moved back to Jersey. And I mostly grew up in different parts of Jersey. My parents split when I was young, so I didn't have stable roots. And I was always kind of just passed around to whoever was brave enough to try.
when the person before gets all worn out. So were you born in New Jersey or born in Florida?
No, I was born someplace else. We moved around a lot.
Okay. So your parents got divorced at an early age. And were you able to process that? Like, did you know what was going on or were you too young?
No, I was the one that told my one parent they should go.
Really?
I was like, you know.
Was that really hard on you?
You suck. Take a drive.
Oh my
out.
Gosh. And was that hard for you? Is it you were a kid, I assume?
Yeah, I was real little.
That's an adult thing to say.
It was, but I was very precocious. Uh-huh. I have a very high IQ, which is another reason why it was hard for people to handle me. Uh-huh. Those excuses that you give kids didn't ever work for me. I was like, no.
You had it figured out early.
The grass is green because it doesn't absorb that parameter of color, so it reflects it back. And they were just like, oh man, we are in trouble.
And yeah. did you have any siblings?
Not until later on when I was an older teenager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when my dad got remarried and then I finally got little sister, little brother, another little sister, another little brother. Yeah, I love
like much love, younger.
Yeah, they're a lot younger. But I mean, you know, we're Italian, so we're like one big family. It's nothing but love and
it's just another person in that community.
Oh, it's more than that. Family is everything. It doesn't, the way that it makes you feel doesn't matter.
Did you have that as a kid?
I mean, I had it with my cousins, aunts, and uncles when I was around them. Yeah, absolutely. I was raised very traditional. Mm-hmm. You know, I helped my family cook. Mm-hmm. As soon as I could see over the counter and, you know, I had a knife and I was chopping up different stuff, you know, sometimes the garlic has to be thinly sliced, you know,
in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
He was kind of real, like you could barely even see it. Okay. Do you call, pardon this, the term that's come up, tomato sauce, do you call it gravy or tomato sauce?
No, it's either gravy or it's sauce.
They're two different things?
Yes, they are. In Italian, you have two different words.
Okay.
For sauce that has no meat in it.
Okay.
If it has no meat in it, it's sauce.
Okay.
But if there's any kind of a meat in it, then it's gravy.
I got a different word.
It's a different word in Italian. If you go to Italy and you order on the menu, you'll see that it's a different, it's even in a different part of the menu, gravy and sauce.
Oh, really?
Pasta by itself comes with sauce.
Okay.
Unless it has meat in it. Then it's gravy.
It's bolognese. That has been a huge mystery for me for years. I can't wait to call my brother literally as soon as we disconnect.
I'm glad I can help you out with that problem.
Yeah, it was great.
You've got an Italian problem come to the full breast of Italian.
Yeah, totally. So did you grow up eating like fresh pasta?
Yeah,
like that, that was made, not from the store.
We would make the dough on Friday. Mm-hmm. I would come to my grandmother's house on Friday. Sometimes I was living with my grandparents. So after school on Friday, I would get home. We would make dough. We'd have dough for pasta, dough for pizza, and dough for pastry.
Okay. How long does that process take?
You start it Friday night. It rises overnight for the first time. And in the morning, then you roll it out and knead it again, cover it, and then it's supposed to rise again for a second time. And then when you roll that out, that's when you put it, you know, how you're going to make it. Like after my grandmother was the matriarch of her family, very large Italian family with many brothers and a sister. And then so all of my uncles, which were her brothers and sisters, their families, so my cousins, after church on Sunday, and we always went to church and we all went to the same church.
Oh, wow.
Everybody would come to her house after. So we would start preparing on Friday evening.
Oh, my God.
And then Saturday also. And then again, Sunday morning. So there was different stages of preparation. First, you start with the dough on Friday. Mm-hmm. Then Saturday, you start to cut the pasta. And sometimes you're stuffing it, you know, if it's like manigata or ravioli or gnocchis or some kind of a pasta that you're going to roll it and stuff it with meat or cheese or herbs or something. And so we would make that on Saturday. We'd have pizza, different kinds of pizza or a calzone or a stromboli on Saturday. And then Sunday morning we would make all the different kinds of gravies, if it was sauce or gravy, depending on, because we'd have several courses. So we'd have an appetizer, a soup or a salad, depending time of year. And we'd have like a main course that if people missed the first course, there was always something else coming.
Okay.
And my grandfather was in charge of the meat because he demanded it that way.
Yeah.
Just marinating it, and then he was in charge of cooking it. Unless it was meatballs. Meatballs was my grandmother's territory.
Really? Was there a reason for that? Or is that,
my cousins will still talk about my grandmother's meatballs.
Oh, okay? Really?
Yeah.
Was this all fun for you? Like coming home on Fridays and starting doing, you know, cooking for Sunday? Was that fun or was it like, you know, as a kid, like a pain?
It was fun because in Italian family, you know, we express love in our food and not just the love of serving you the food, but doing it together. Right. And that's how we express love. And then we would chit chat. Like, so Italians are, it's easier for us to talk if we're multitasking. And I think it's a good way to approach, especially emotional topics. Where, you know, you can focus on something else. And then this way you're not such an emotional wreck, I think. And so we would talk to each other while we were cooking and share our day and share our life. Everything happened at the kitchen table in the kitchen, you know. It was beautiful. It was.
Yes. This must be great memories.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you, when did like wrestling enter the picture?
So wrestling entered the picture for me when I went to Japan.
Okay.
I was a mixed martial arts fighter, and I was fighting no holds barred in Japan at Queendom Highest Wars through the Fujiwara Gumi, because I was trained by Bart Vail.
Okay.
And so when I
hold
was
on, we're going to have to, we have to back up a little bit here, because we just jumped all the way to Japan. How did that happen? How did you get from New Jersey to Japan? I'm not talking about transportation wise, but how does that happen?
So when I was 21-ish,
okay,
I think I left Jersey because I realized that everybody wanted me to be this person and have this role. And that was not what was in my heart or my dream or my aspiration to be and do. I always wanted to do martial arts, and I just really wanted to find out who I was and take control of my life and my destiny. So I moved to Florida, packed up my car, moved to Florida, and I had no plan, no nothing. I lived in my car. I bought a gym membership, and I slowly started to find a job. I had like five jobs when I first got there.
Oh my God.
Right. And then eventually I got a good job, and I got to, you know, save my money and get my own place. And
did you have any plan in place when you were in high school for what was going to happen after high school?
No.
Okay. Okay. Were you able to find somewhere to live and not live in your car after having all those jobs?
Yeah, I think it took me about 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't a long time.
Was that awful, living out of your car?
No, I was living in Fort Lauderdale Beach parking lot, right by the Yankee Clipper and the Bahia Mar. There was a nice little parking lot. It was really safe. You had to be in there by a certain time, and you had to pay.
Okay.
And they had showers and bathrooms there.
Oh, okay. You know, no one's going to mess with you at night.
I mean, no, I'm a woman. So, yeah, people try to mess with me. But
all things, you know, being equal, like the cops aren't coming and saying, what are you doing here?
No, no, no.
Okay.
If anything, the cops were protecting me to make sure nothing would happen to me, because they knew I wasn't some kind of derelict. I was just in a transition, you know.
Sure.
Listen, people get married and divorced, and all of a sudden, you know, that you lose your job, you lose that. Like, that's life, you know. Yeah. Life is unpredictable. You should expect the unexpected, and sometimes don't have a pessimistic viewpoint or filter that the unexpected things are always going to be bad things. There's an equal opportunity for good and bad of those unexpected things. You can plan for the future, but you can't plan the future. There's just too many things that are not within our control. And I believe in working really hard toward your goals and setting steps and milestones and building your way up to your goal. That's what martial arts taught me. You know, I started off white belt. I made my way to black belt. And, you know, then I started off in Taekwondo.
Okay.
And then I taught, and then I was a state champion for black belt women in my weight class for Olympic style Taekwondo, which is continuous fighting and knockouts apply, head kicks. Yeah. And then then I started training with Bart Vail, and then went to Japan. And then while I was in Japan, I met Reggie Bennett. And she said, you would be great for pro wrestling. You should try it. And then I watched the Japanese women of New Japan and All Japan and a couple of other companies there wrestle. And I fell in love with strong style Japanese wrestling.
When you were still in the States, were you aware of wrestling here?
Yes.
Okay. When did the WWE and that stuff, like, when did you kind of figure that out?
I mean, Luna Vachon was my friend well before that. I knew about that stuff, but I don't know if it was because of the things that she would tell me that I wasn't really, you know, on fire for it, or if it was just because my dream was, you know, listen, I wanted to see women in the UFC. That was my dream then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was flat out told there will never be a woman in the octagon. It would never happen. And Phyllis Trezza was my manager. So Dana White said that.
Did he really?
Yeah, this was like 1996,
97. Are fans different in Japan than they are from here, like at a show?
Yeah. Oh, they're very polite and they don't talk.
Really?
Until you do something, you know, and then they cheer. I mean, at least that's the way it used to be. I don't know, you know, now if the culture has changed.
Sure.
They give a huge amount of respect to fighters and wrestlers and boxers in Japan. They understand the difficulty of it. And they're really, you know, very respectful. Yeah.
So how long did you stay in Japan for?
I was only there until my fight. So I think I was there like a week before my fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fought. And then like just a few days later, I left.
And you came back to Florida at that point?
Yes, I came back to Florida and I decided I want to learn pro wrestling. And then I was introduced to Liz Chase, who was an original Moolah girl. Her and Wendy Richter were hired by Vince Sr. at the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
And then Liz decided to go to Japan because she got the opportunity to have some really good rivalries with big Japanese stars over there. And, you know, she was getting paid well, and it was away from, you know, it was her own deal. So
when you started as a training for, you know, pro wrestling, was it a hard transition?
No,
not at all.
Mm-mm. No, it's very athletic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to understand I'm martial arts. I'm bodybuilding. I was competing in bodybuilding, drug free. And I was getting second place, you know, and then I was doing pro wrestling. I was an athlete.
And where did you have your first match?
My first match was at the Iron Horse Saloon in Ormond Beach, Florida during Biketoberfest against China. Gosh.
Oh, so were you nervous at all? Like they say, like going to the ring or like that morning of, or didn't get nerves at that point?
I mean, everybody is always nervous, I think, before they perform because you want to do good. Mm-hmm. I wasn't scared, but I cared about my performance, definitely.
And afterwards, were you like, oh, this was great, I loved it? Or did you feel like,
oh my God, yes. Oh my God, it was so emotional because Luna Vachon was there. So she saw it and she had already been my friend for years.
Uh-huh.
And Liz watched. And when I got to the back, they just both hugged me and we all cried together and they were so proud of me.
Has your family ever seen you wrestle in person?
Oh my God, yes. Even all my siblings. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, is that a good feeling knowing that when they're like, you know, you had family in the audience?
I mean, yeah, you know, it definitely. And my dad is so funny. He is so funny. Even after all these years, it's hilarious to see my father watch wrestling.
I love watching him watch it.
It's like, yes, it's great.
he probably loves it. It's probably like a dream. My daughter is a pro wrestler. Enjoy training when you were training?
Yeah.
Like training others?
I still do. I always have. I never stopped. I just did it in a different way. I trained Molly Holly before she met Lanny Poffo and got trained by Dean Malenko.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I trained several people, actually, even some guys when Liz had her school over there. And then when I was done with ECW and I moved even when I was on the road with ECW, Jason Knight had a school and I would go over there. So everybody that graduated from Jason Knight's school, you know, worked out with me whenever I was in town. I was always at his dojo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like Mercedes Martinez and a couple of the guys, you know, that I think they still wrestle now, you know. To me, wrestling is like a family. And these people are my brothers and sisters. And I think it's really important for everybody that has a passion for pro wrestling, really true passion, not because they want to become rich and famous, but because they really love this art, this craft. Because pro wrestling, even though it's pro wrestling and it's a show, people have to understand it is a martial art. And there is an art to not killing somebody just as much as there is an art to using this for self-defense. And it is both sides of it are, you know, one is heads and one is tails. It's the same coin. So I want to encourage people and help people grow who have that passion, who want to learn this art and aren't going to be greedy and selfish about it or egomaniacs, right? People who are good, who are going to give it back freely, like the way that it was given to them. I mean, yeah, we all have to pay for wrestling school. And yes, when you're green, you do have to pay for lessons. Absolutely. And, you know, everybody does. But when you get to a certain point where you're not green and needy and you can be a leader and you can give back, you should. It's important because it helps the school, and you want that a good school to thrive and succeed, because then everybody that comes from that school gets even better reputation. It elevates everybody. And if you guys can have a successful school where you can put on school shows, then that's even better, because then you get to work in front of a crowd, and that's really, really important experience. And then that's how you grow and you can get your chance at your dream. But what I would say is that there's room in the business for everybody that has a real passion. So just because you're maybe not cut out to be a wrestler, there's nothing wrong with being a ring announcer or a referee or a color commentator or a manager or a valet. There's everybody's important. It takes everybody, you know, a camera guy, like that's one of the most important jobs. Right.
It's crucial.
So you need producers, you need everybody. It takes everybody to put on a show. Everybody's important and valuable. It's a team. It's not just your forward-facing talent, but it takes everybody. And it's really important to make sure that you're good to everybody, because none of those jobs are easy. They all require talent, skills, and abilities. And everybody is super valuable and really important. So I would say if you have a passion for wrestling, that you should try it. But if it's not for you to wrestle, don't give up, because maybe you have a place somewhere else on the team and you're equally as important as, you know,
the wrestler. That's a great way to, it's you verbalize that very well. Did, when you were in ECW.
And out of all the wrestling TV, I like the stories and I like the presentation and I like that style. And I had an interest in doing hardcore because no women were really doing it. And I thought, well, there's no reason why there shouldn't be a woman doing it. And why can't that woman be me? I'm, you know, I'm tough. So I started learning that style, moved to Georgia so that I could really dig into that style, and started training with the guys. Demon Hellstorm and Logan Price was there, and there was a couple of other people. Teddy Long and Rocky Bulwer had Atlanta Championship Wrestling, and so all the guys at this school were working there, so that's why I was training with those guys. And then I got the opportunity to try out with Teddy and Rocky, and then they immediately were like, you're our hardcore champion, and that's, we're gonna do that. And they gave me that opportunity to wrestle the guys and do hardcore matches, and I held the hardcore championship belt.
Had you had any contact with ECW at that point?
No.
No.
I hadn't. What I knew back then, because we didn't have phones that could videotape, and it was actually really hard to get somebody to videotape a match because you needed to have a camcorder.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you had to take this tiny little cassette and get it put on a VHS tape. Oh my goodness. That was like,
geez.
And I was so poor. I was so poor. I could barely keep a roof over my head and lights on.
Were you able to, were you down to like one meal a day or like anything like that?
No. I mean, I figured out how to live on like $30 a week on groceries.
Oh my God.
As a bodybuilder. Lots of eggs.
I bet. Yeah, totally.
They were the cheapest thing I could afford.
Oh my God. So would you look back at your ECW time as like the best time or just like, or it was a good time, but the whole, you know, every place is special.
I think every place is special. I'm totally grateful because ECW, I everything I thought I knew, mm-hmm. I mean, became ingrained in my DNA once I became ECW because it was I was living, breathing, eating, sleeping it, mm-hmm. you know, for at least 4 or 5 days a week, which, you know, was a game changer instead of just, you know, every other weekend or one night every weekend, you know, mm-hmm. wrestling. It went to, you know, wrestling way more.
Were you able to have like part-time jobs like in between as well to make some money?
Yeah, I did have to stop teaching martial arts. Mm-hmm. They actually really got very intimidated when I went to Japan and fought. And then that I secured my spot where I could try out for the Olympic team.
Uh-huh.
And being that I was the only woman and I was actually running the school as the head instructor because nobody could beat me. Mm-hmm. They kind of didn't like that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I got like laid off because
you're
they
too
had
good?
To downsize the schools actually. And because they had to shut one of the schools, I was then mm-hmm. out of the whole company, I was not the highest ranking person anymore.
Got it. Okay.
So
after
I was going to answer the rest of your question.
Yeah, I know.
But then I started doing security for ex-Sheriff Navarro had his own security company, Navarro Security. And that's how I met the Warlord. And me and the Warlord would actually do security at this place called Beach Place, which is on Fort Lauderdale, A1A. It's okay. Like three stories of pubs and stores. And yeah.
What was you supposed to just kind of walk around, make sure everything's.
I was the captain. So I had he was at one bar because uh-huh. it was like the bar that was the crazy bar.
Yeah.
uh-huh. He had to go to the crazy bar. But once the bouncers get you out of any establishment, mm-hmm. then you're on Beach Place property. And that's when Terry and I have to make sure, you know, you get all the way off the property and we give you over to the cops. You know,
did you ever get physical?
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
Oh yeah.
But you could handle yourself.
Oh yeah, no problem. I mean, I was benching like 225. So yeah.
Was there any part of you that's like they were like, come on, yeah, mess with me. Let's see what happens.
No.
No, okay.
Mm-hmm. I just did whatever I did, you know.
Okay.
And I would secure them. And if they didn't mm-hmm. want to go, I mean, immediately as soon as I put my hands on somebody, mm-hmm. I already have them in something, but they don't realize it. Cause sure, they're like, sure. Oh, look at the cute little girl. She's going to give you, look at you. Look at
oh
you.
My God.
And then they're like, ow, my arm, ow, my face. Don't break my nose.
So, you know, so after ECW, was it like Women's Extreme Wrestling and Superstars Uncensored? So it looked like you worked a ton then. Was that your, did you have a day job as well?
I was putting myself through college.
At Rutgers?
Yes.
Rutgers
School of Business. I got
what
my
made you
undergrad.
Decide to do that at that point?
When I broke both my feet and I was in a wheelchair for six months.
Okay, yeah, totally.
I was like, gee, maybe one day I can't do this anymore.
Wait, you broke both your feet at the same time?
In a ladder match, yeah, because my stupid referee didn't hold my ladder.
Did you know right away that you broke, that they were broken?
Yes, I knew it immediately. You could hear it when my foot hit.
No.
I sacrificed one foot because I was afraid if I didn't, I would break both my legs. And I knew breaking my legs was way more dangerous than shattering my foot or breaking my foot.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't want to get a compound fracture because, you know, no.
Do you still have any issues with your feet?
No.
Because of that?
No,
they're healed and
smart. I take care of myself. I didn't let it get stagnant or anything. No, I mean, I can run 5 miles. Yeah, I don't have any problems.
So during that time, was it exhausting or like mentally exhausting?
Yeah, I got chubby.
Okay.
I packed on some weight. You know, when I went back to college, I was like, here I've been a wrestler all this time. When I come out of college, what is my resume going to say? I was a pro wrestler at ECW.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not going to get me a job with a AT&T. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah, for sure, for sure.
So I had to just, you know, really focus on school and graduate with honors, which I did. I got president's list, dean's list, you know, honor society invitation.
So Rutgers, did it take you 4 years or to graduate?
From my undergrad, yes.
Okay.
And then I decided to stay in and get my graduate degree. So I got my master's in business management as well.
Oh my God.
Minor in labor relations and labor law and, you know, collective bargaining, all that kind of stuff.
So you really throw yourself into things.
I'm kind of a nerd. I think I've said that before, but I really do like to study. I study.
It's like
now.
A superpower.
I mean, I guess.
No, superpower meaning that you're learning things, you know, and those are like super, that information.
I think it keeps you humble when you realize that you don't know everything, no matter how old you get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the reason why I'm, you know, young at heart and still really fit and still, because it's, I think being humble has a lot to do with that.
Do you work out every day?
No,
no. Okay. Was there a point that you felt like you had to?
No, that's not healthy.
That's,
you can't work out every day because your body needs to heal. So, all right, my nerd side is going to come out now.
Let's hear it.
The more time that you give your body to heal, actually you'll put on more lean muscle mass and you'll keep your cortisol levels lower, which means you'll store less body fat.
How long does it take your feet to heal?
I think it took about 6 months.
Okay. Are those bones harder to heal because you're putting pressure on your feet every day?
I don't think it took me that long to heal. I healed right on time.
Okay.
And like I said, I was running as soon as I was able to. I've been through a lot of different kinds of injuries and over the years, and the only operation I ever had to have was to put my foot back together with the screws. I mean, I've never hurt my shoulders or my knee I've had injuries, but I recovered really quick. I never had to have any kind of surgery or anything.
I was about to say something, but I don't want to jinx anything. So I'm going to move on past that.
I don't believe in jinxes.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I am a child of God. There is no power on earth or anywhere greater than that.
So then how long were you away from pro wrestling?
So recently, after I graduated, I got really turned off by how promoters were treating wrestlers, and particularly how I was being treated. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this just isn't worth my aggravation anymore. I did so much to help so many people get their careers, get their promotions going. And then when everybody got what they wanted from me, it was like, okay, you know, F you. And I was like, yeah, not so much, you know.
So did you kind of like end some relationships?
It's not that I ended any relationships. I just thought that it was toxic. And so when you remove yourself from toxic environments, you don't have to stay in them, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt like people's priorities maybe were off. Wrestling is great. It's great to have a hobby and a thing that you love, whether it's wrestling or football or boxing or martial arts or gymnastics, hockey, whatever. But when you let that thing rule you and you let it control you and how you perceive yourself or what you're willing to accept from people, where you let it change your boundaries, that's unhealthy relationship, and I'm sorry. And so, you know, I'm very emotionally grounded type of person. So I was like, this is actually starting to stress me out more than it's like they're robbing me of the fun of this. So I'm not going to let that happen. So I'll just take a time out for a while.
Step away.
Yeah, until it comes back around with a better set of people or a
better
set
of circumstances. It was never, I'm done with pro wrestling. No. I want to see some changes. And then, so what led you then to come back into pro wrestling?
Well, I mean, I was training. I just wasn't wrestling. No, but I mean,
on shows and stuff.
I mean, I also started getting involved in independent filmmaking, and I got a break because of my martial arts. What I did was, because pro wrestling, I gave that the back seat. I gave priority to martial arts. I started to study the sword. I started to study 52 blocks. And which is an African martial art. And I just kind of threw myself into that. And when I did that, people were like, oh, you know how to pro wrestle. Are you a good actress? Do you think you could act? And I started doing martial arts films, you know, independent ones. And I had a lot of fun, and I got to have some good fighting scenes. And again, fighting guys, it was fun. Oh. Everybody loved working with me. They were like, oh, this is great.
Do you know if your character survived the movie?
No, my character did not survive.
Oh, God. Okay. That's what I was talking about. Spoilers.
She was an evil bitch. She did not deserve to live.
Now I got this, like, my mission now to find this movie. So you were obviously in great shape and you were training. Did you have to change anything to get back into the ring for matches on shows?
Well, I did have a little ring rust because I didn't have my wrestling brain on.
Sure.
But it doesn't take very long to get that back after you've been in the business for 20 years.
Yeah.
Now it's 25 years. So. I didn't lose anything.
Okay, two questions. Was your family upset when you started wrestling? Not meaning like upset at you, but like, did they like, oh, we're not gonna see you wrestle? And then were they really excited again when you decided to get in the ring?
I mean, my family is supportive of whatever is going on in my life. You know, they know they have confidence in my judgment.
Sure.
Because I'm always setting goals and achieving goals and, you know, and try to be inspirational. Mm-hmm. You know, also what I did when I was away from wrestling was I was working on the rescue bus, where that bus was going before COVID, going around to like the bad areas and giving out food. We would set up an outdoor, it's like a big RV, mm-hmm. and we would set up an indoor-outdoor kind of setup with the RV and counsel people with drug addiction and feed homeless people, give them socks and gloves and hats and jackets and, you know, like a kit for self-care, toothpaste, soap, things, you know. Yeah. So I think it's important to have a well-balanced life where it's not always all about you and, mm-hmm. you know, that you also give to. I've also done a lot with animal rescue. That's a big, big, you know, a passion of mine is you know, seeing animals from euthanasia just because the shelter's full in one area and empty in another area. That's understand. I don't understand why we do it this way. It's just disgusting. But
Yeah, that's awful. Do you have pets? Do you have any dogs?
Yes, I have 3 dogs.
Oh, God.
They're all rescue dogs. They don't know what they are.
They're
angel loves us dogs. Are they big, medium, or small? I have a large one, a medium one, and a chihuahua. That's the only one I know what he is. Is my little boy.
Are the bigger dogs gentle with the chihuahua, or is it the opposite? Yes. The chihuahua's on them.
Yeah, no, everybody's gentle here. You know what? It's all about leadership. You know how they say shit rolls downhill?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's the truth, no matter where it's your home or your office. If you're the leader, it starts with you and your energy. If you're, you know, everybody else mm-hmm. is going to be that way. Okay. So I'm not crazy. I save my crazy for the ring.
Okay. Okay. So what is your, like, what do you feel like you have left to accomplish in the wrestling ring?
So I'm, kind of pride myself on being really able to spot out talent that, mm-hmm. you know, I like to take certain people under my wing and uh-huh. work with them and teach them. So, and then see them go on to do big, beautiful things in wrestling and become stars. So I want to be a legend maker. I think I have a pretty good record so far of being able to spot that out in people. Yeah. And so I do train at ECPW, which is Gino Caruso School in, Lake Hiawatha or Parsippany, New Jersey, Northern New Jersey.
Okay.
And I want to continue training people. And I go to Spartan Championship Wrestling, where I'm the women's champion. Uh-huh. And I go there once a month and train. So, you know, I like to help people. Mm-hmm. I would like to do more. On a grander scale, I would love to have my own school one day, but, you know, I kind of need some things to happen in order for that to happen. But
sure.
Until then, whichever way that I can get myself in the ring and really, you know, share knowledge and input mm-hmm. into people. But also, I'm always learning new things from people, too. It's not a one-way street. And mm-hmm. I love that. I feel like the more that I know about wrestling, the mm-hmm. more that I don't know or that I like, you know, like I forgot so much stuff too, you know.
Are you proud of yourself? Are you able to be proud of yourself?
I mean, I feel like I've done things that I'm proud of accomplishing. Sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know that I would say proud because I like I said, I really do feel like even though I've done a lot and I have achieved a lot of goals, mm-hmm. I feel like I didn't achieve my dream. So I don't know that I'm really like, I would say I'm proud. I would say I respect myself. Okay. And I feel like, you know, I did things the right way, and everything that was in my control to do, I really did the best that I could. I was self-disciplined. I'm still self-disciplined. I still go to the dojo. I still train. So, you know, I don't like the word proud, but I would say I respect myself.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Angel, I'm not going to keep you much longer. A, I will get divorced. And B, you probably have much better things than being with me on a Wednesday night. Can I ask you 5 non-wrestling related yes or no questions?
Sure.
Okay. Can you turn on a jukebox just by like hitting the wall like Fonzie?
You know, I have. I don't know if I could do. I don't know if I could do it every time, but I have done that.
Oh my God! I'm like super impressed. Number 2, have you ever cried during a Will Ferrell movie?
I've almost peed my pants laughing,
but never shed a tear.
No.
Okay. Good. Good. Okay. I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm going to ask the question anyways. For $9.6 million. Would you abandon your current religion and then make an announcement on social media that now you're in the arms of Satan? And I'm going to modify this question. You only have to do it for a year. You just have to convince everybody for a year. And then afterwards you say, I got paid this for, that's why I did that.
No, I would never do that.
Okay. Okay. Are you afraid of deer?
No.
Okay. And do you have a favorite Will Smith song?
Will Smith, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Mm-hmm.
I would. Does he sing that song from Bad Boys? I think he does.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So that's your favorite.
I would say that's my favorite Will Smith song.
And his slapping Chris Rock did not tarnish the music. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I don't think it was smart that he did that. It's not something I would do, but then again, I'm not married, so.
Yeah,
I try not to judge other people.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Angel, you 5 for 5, by the way. You did great.
Thank you.
Are you going to be appearing anywhere anytime soon?
Oh, yeah. This Friday, I'll be in Boonton, New Jersey for ECPW Adrenaline. June 11th, I will be at Spartan Championship Wrestling in Fort Monmouth. I will be defending this title belt against Karen Renee, or AKA Karen Bam Bam.
Yeah.
Also, June 11th, later that night, I'll be in Flemington, New Jersey, wrestling for ECPW Adrenaline.
Uh-huh.
And July 30th, I will be in Reading, Pennsylvania for High Tension Wrestling. I'll be wrestling Adina Steele.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Would you wrestle on Christmas Day?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are there any holidays you wouldn't wrestle on?
Absolutely not. I will wrestle 24/7, baby. Bring it.
That is
bring
good
it,
to know.
Totally. I bring all right, more you're than ready. Just the bling. I bring the thing. Woo!
Angel, thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it. I was nervous all day long today, so I'm relieved that we're getting to this point and I can calm down. But really, thank you so much, and I wish you nothing but like health and happiness going forward. And I hope to talk to you again someday.
Me too. Thank you so much, Brad.
It was my pleasure. It truly was. And you take care. And right. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you. Right. Thank you for having me. Best blessings.
My pleasure.
Peace.